You can turn with me to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. By the way, if you are visiting here this morning, it's good to have you with us here. You probably picked up that we have a lot of socials and all of those kind of thing, but please feel welcome to join us in any of those events that's coming up in the next few weeks. Our 4x4 trip, our fishing weekend. I'll bring in Bri next week. Bring in friend. You don't just bring the meat, bring in friend as well, okay? Please invite them to church. And we trust God to touch each and every one of us. Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 20, and then also Ephesians 4 from verse 7 to 16. It's a bit dark in here. Can we have light again? Let there be light. And there was light. Okay. Thanks for electricity. It's not my words. I'm not God. God gave us the authority to speak. Ephesians 3 from verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And then we're going to go to verse 7 of chapter 4, further down. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, and by the trickery of men, where I lost my place, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want to discuss this piece in Ephesians, or the whole book of Ephesians. And the theme of my scripture or my message this morning is from growing from milk to food. Because I honestly believe that God doesn't just have children that's just born into the kingdom and leave them there. Like we know that it's necessary for children to grow. Can we have the photo up there? Since it's Children's Day, we might as well have another one up there for my oldest, you know. You know that time when you've been a parent, you know, that moment when she moves out of the milk phase into the food phase, when they start eating solid food. And it's a very exciting moment, a very messy moment, but you rejoice because you moved into a new phase. Likewise, God wants to take us from just being born into the kingdom, like he said to Nicodemus in John 3, when he came to him at night and said, what shall we do to be saved? He told him, you need to be born again. And then God wants to move you on through a process of drinking just milk, you know, to a place where we grow in Christ, and then eventually where we become mature in Christ, where we understand and we eat the solids. You know, that the mature Christians eat the solid food, and then sometimes, you know what you, when you were, you know, I've seen it, my grandma used to do it with us. It's a bit gross. You know, they would chew the food and then give it to the child, you know, on the spoon. Now, that's what sometimes mature Christians need to do to the children. The children do not know, and babies in Christ do not always know how to eat those solids. So our aim is to grow from that place, you know, where we just drink milk to where we can eat solids and then eventually help the others. Okay, I wouldn't portray that again. But then our aim is to help those at the bottom and to pull them up as well and to disciple them and to help them to get mature and to help them to understand, why am I here? Just not here just to come and drink on a Sunday morning a little bit of milk, go away, you know, and next Sunday I'm just here and crying. You know, our babies, all they know is they're just crying when they want the milk and that's it. Then the end of the world, my little one is at the moment with the dummy, the same thing, you know, if the whole world turns around that dummy, you know, and God wants us to take out that dummy and throw it away sometimes and move on to the next phase. And Paul was writing to the Ephesians, and they had a problem. They were rich in Christ. 12 times Paul talked about in him, in Christ. And they were so rich in Christ, yet they lived as beggars, you know, not realizing what Christ has deposited inside of them. And these words like exceeding and riches and glory and far above, being chosen, blameless, adopted, accepted, forgiven, predestined, and sealed, that Paul used in order to get them to open their eyes and to realize what God has placed inside of them. And the Greek word for exceeding means to throw beyond the usual mark, not just to on the average, but to go beyond the normal. And I'm proposing to you this morning that God has placed something inside of our hearts that's not normal, or inside of our destiny, inside of who He created us. There's something that's more than just being a child or little one in the kingdom of God, but it's something that's seeking for more. And that's why this clip, you know, just portrayed it so well. Ephesians 1:13 says, it talks about this being sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean, being sealed with the Holy Spirit? If we go back, you know, back then in biblical times, the kings would seal their valuable things with their seal or their stamp, and it marked their valuable possessions. Likewise, God is saying, you are valuable to me. My stamp is upon you. The Holy Spirit is the proof of that. And also, it was a sense of security. Whenever the stamp, and we can think about Daniel, when he was down in that den, the king, or they rolled that stone on there, and it was sealed with the king's seal. Likewise, and nobody had to, were allowed to tamper with that seal. This morning, God is saying, you are mine. You are secure in Christ. I've placed my seal upon you. Nobody are allowed to tamper with you, you know. And the same enemy would come and try. But it's God that's saying, I'm approving you. And also, it's also a sign of authenticity. Whenever the king, like in the case with Esther, he put his seal on that, that meant, that letter, that declaration meant that this is true. That is, the king authorized that. And this morning, God says that the work that's taking place in your life is the work of the Holy Spirit. Recognize that. See that this morning. My Holy Spirit is a sign of that. They tell the story of Alexander the Great. Those of you who know the history, you know about Alexander the Great. I don't know, I have to explain to you. If you don't know, go to the video shop and go and get that DVD about Alexander the Great. But it tells about this great king that lived once, that conquered nations and continents. And at one stage, he sent one of his servants to the mighty king of Egypt, and he didn't have anybody with him. He just went there on his own with Alexander's seal, the king's ring, where it's got had his seal on. And he came to the mighty king of Egypt as he was standing there with all his army there, him on his own, and he said to the king of Egypt, discontinue hostilities against Alexander's interests. And at that stage, you know, I can just see that this king is standing here thinking, who are you coming to tell me, you know, that I shouldn't, or that I should stop by going any forward and stay out of Alexander's business. And this servant was very courageous. As this king was contemplating in silence, he walked forward, he took his hand and he drew a circle around the king and he said, you're not stepping outside the circle this morning or today unless you make known your decision, unless you tell me what you will do. And the king stood for a while like that. He stepped out of the circle and he said to the servant, tell Alexander he's got his request. I will do that. Because he understood one thing. This servant had the seal of Alexander. The moment he would go against that, it was as good as he were against the whole army of Alexander the Great. Likewise, if we say this morning to the Holy Spirit, we've got the seal of Jesus Christ upon our lives, that means that we have the authority of Christ, that he gave that authority to us. But it's for us to move out of that phase. We have that authority. We have all those riches, those glory, that those things that's been deposited in us already from a young age, well, already when the moment when you come to Christ. But it's for us to grow out of that phase, to see that, to realize that, till and to walk in that. Ephesians 1, 17 to 18 says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, when we come to Christ, God gives us those things. It's automatically been deposited in our lives. But activation of that is not automatic. That is where we have to grow into that, where we come to that place, where we see what God has placed in our lives, and then start exploring that. I'm using a very abstract example this morning, but they would say if a piece of gold that's just back on that stone and gravel, set in that stone and gravel, if that would be able, the thing would be able to talk, and you pick it up and you say to it, you know, I want to get the gold out of that, and it would say probably to you, no, I'm just a piece of gravel, I'm just dark, or, you know, I don't look good, or whatever. You would think about it. No, you're not. I see the potential inside of you. I know what's inside of you. Likewise, when God says to us, you know, we say to him, Lord, I'm not the one, like I preached 2 weeks ago. I'm not the one. This is not the time. Now is not the place. God says, no, I see the potential inside of you. Like he said to Gideon, mighty man of valor. God sees the same in you and me. Although we're in that, like that piece of gravel or rock that only look at that, God sees the gold inside and says, well, I have to take you through a process that might, you know, it might be hot, there might be a lot of pressure, but once that process has been finished, the gold will come forth. It will come to the surface. And like with the sculptor, they say that at any given time when a sculptor stands in front of a piece of rock or whatever he wants to form, he's already got it in mind. He's already seeing that picture, what he wants to form out of that piece of rock. God is already seeing where he's taking you. God knew that. Ephesians 1:4 says, before the foundation of the world, God called us to walk holy and blame before him in love. He saw us. He called us for good works. He saw that. He made a deposit inside of you and me. And I'm looking at our congregation, and I know that in one sense, Ephesians, like with Ephesians, they were rich. I'm not saying we're living as beggars, but I know that God has placed such a richness in us. Our capacity is so great to change generations, to make a difference, to further the kingdom in such a big way. But unless we come to that place where we grow out of the birth phase to the mature phase, where we see and understand what God has placed in us, where we understand the capacity that God has given us, where we understand the Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Christ, that made him or arose him from the dead, is the same Spirit that is alive in my life this morning and is enabling us to go forward and to further the kingdom. Can I have an amen on that one? You know, Satan's idea, or the god of this age, is out there to blind us, to keep our eyes shut from what God has placed in. As long as we can come to church, you know, Sunday after Sunday, listening to sermon after sermon, and never tap into that deepness inside of that God has placed you, that deposit, if we never start withdraw from that deposit and explore that, Satan is happy, because he knows we'll be deceived. We just come to church, you know. I've been to church, and I can tick it off. You know, it's expected of me to come. But if I never explore that, if I never, when I walk out of that, start applying that and make a step or take a step further, you'll be so happy, you know. And you will get us in church, you know, as long as we, you know. Why has God put this inside of us? I've already said, you know, we receive that gift automatically, but exploration or activation doesn't happen automatically. Verse 20 of chapter 3 talks about that Christ worked it, that Christ did it in us. That's worked it in us before the foundation. In other words, his past tense has already been done. What God had to do, he already did in our lives. It's just for us now to open, you know, our eyes. Verse 3, Ephesians 3:10 says this, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Notice this. I'm reading this to the intent that now the manifold wisdom, the wisdom, what's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ coming to reunite us with the Father. Jew and Gentile being brought together. This is the wisdom of the ages that God's sharing or Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he's sharing with us this morning. That manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That's just, I'm just reading from Scripture this morning. It's not made known by God. It's made known by the church. God is using the church to bring that light across to the world. And that's us this morning. To know the love of Christ, says he in verse 19, he says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What am I saying to you this morning? That God comes, he takes us to that place when we are born into the kingdom. He wants us to realize the manifold wisdom of God. What happened here? What's the whole world about? It's about reuniting, bringing people back to Christ. And it's about knowing Christ's love. That's why Paul preached to them or wrote to them and said that you will come to that place where you understand God's love for the world. When you come to that place, that's a moving love. It's an active love. It's not a passive love that we just come here and we just have a good time and have goosebumps, you know, and the Holy Spirit work and, oh, praise God. But then when I walk out of here, there's no difference in my life. It's an active love that keeps me moving. The Holy Spirit continuously, like Paul said in Corinthians, he says, it's the love of Christ that compels me. That love of Christ compels me to share it with my neighbor. So I cannot contain it. I cannot keep it. But the moment when I keep it, there's either one of two things wrong. Either I haven't had the full love of Christ or the revelation of the love of Christ. And then we had to go back, like Paul said in Ephesians 3:19, where he says, I have to pray for you that you understand the love of Christ, how deep and wide and the height of it, so that you can understand that it's just more than what we can contain and it moves you. Or secondly, if we don't move or we are dormant, it means that either I've had the revelation and I'm just being disobedient. I'm just sinning, really. There's no other two ways, you know, how to explain it. So if we're not in the last category, we might be in the first category where we say, Lord, we have to grow deeper into your love, to have a bigger understanding, to move me out of the state of passiveness to a state of being active in the kingdom, and in a state of where I'm taking up the role as being a servant in the kingdom, to a state where I become or grow out of the stage of being a child and just being put here, and we nurture you and we give you milk, and every Sunday you've been doing this for the last 2-3 years and just coming here to drink milk. God says it's time to move on to the next phase now, where we take up the role as being a servant in the house of God. Ephesians 4:12 says this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know what the biggest deception in church was for many years? Maybe a lot of us carry that perception still around. Is that the reverend or the dumni or the pastor, whoever is there, to preach and he's doing the work of the ministry. Okay, I'm preaching a message to work me out of this thing this morning. No. You know what? That is such a deception because people came to churches, you know, and now all those that still believe it, this still church cannot grow because it's limited to one person. My role, or whoever it might be, the spiritual leader, wherever you're from this morning, if you're from another congregation, is just to equip you. And likewise with our home cell leaders, as we delegate our responsibility, it's to equip others, to empower them so that they can share that manifold wisdom, to take them and to grow, let them grow out of that phase from being a child to come to a place where they understand, why am I really doing this? I'm not just here to drink milk on a Sunday. I'm here to understand the manifold wisdom of God, to understand what does it mean to become a servant in the house of God, rather than just filling a place and not making a difference. And to be alive and not making a difference is the worst case, you know. You remember that story I told you last time about the man that had his ashes in the meeting, you know, and he was for 100 years present in that meeting, but only in the urn, in that ashes, you know. And we cannot be like urns, you know, just be here on a Sunday. Our ashes is here, you know, and that's all. God wants us to be active out there, advancing his kingdom, and really understand what it's all about. To come to that place and say, there's more than church. I need to slot in somewhere. There must be somewhere, a place for me where God has called me. In this place, in this house, or in wherever whatever house or spiritual house it might be. I have to come to that place where I want to grow into that. And to edify, when we say in Ephesians 4:12, to edify means to build up or to help each other along in this whole thing. Christ is the head of the church, and each of us, we are believers this morning, is another piece of that or brick of that house as God is busy building his house, the church. And this is so profound this morning. But you know what? That many times we start thinking more of ourselves. You know, we grow into this thing and suddenly we graduate and we give ourselves titles and, you know, we've gone for the whole church thing and we've been brought up. And then suddenly the brick thing is more important than the house, you know. And we would drive past the house. When we drive past the house, we never say, there's beautiful bricks there, you know. Look at all those bricks. We're just such a small piece in the whole thing, you know. Me and you are just another brick in the house of God. This church, our movement, is just another brick in the whole picture. And if we stay at that place where we understand our role, that we need to be in the hand of the master, unless we're in the hand of the master, placing ourselves willingly at that place, we say, Lord, you know, I'm placing myself in your hands so that you can fit me into the building where you want me. God cannot use you effectively. We cannot grow. And unless we stay at that place where we are humble before God, realizing, you know, God is blessing us with people and more bricks are being added and this house is being built, it's all glory unto God, you know. It's not focused upon our bricks, you know. That's why God hates pride, you know, because we don't get the picture sometimes. You know, we think we're big shots, but then when God comes, you know, and he just, you do not want to be humbled by God, you know, but we get an understanding that there's something bigger than what we are doing here this morning. We are just participating and fulfilling a small role. And my call is to you this morning that we come to that place where we realize to take up that towel, to start serve, to say, Lord, we have to grow. There's more. And it only comes through the work. You know, the Bible used that word, work. You know, it doesn't say we just sit down and relax and the maturity comes to us. It's work. It means I'll have to get up maybe on a Sunday or maybe in a week. I have to go out and visit that person and come to that place where I understand it takes, there's a price to pay. That's why many people never pay that price. That's why Matthew 22:14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen ones are the ones that said, yes, Lord, I'm signing up for that. I'm willing to pay that price. It might take off my extra time. But I'm not seeing it as I'm doing it for the church. I see it as I'm doing it unto you. Okay? I'm recruiting people this morning. So, for the kingdom of God. I'm recruiting servants this morning. So, I'm not sure if I'll be a good salesman. I'll have a look in a month and I'll see. Then maybe I'll have to go to Nictus or okay and get some sales techniques there. No. But it's about understanding what God has placed in you in your life that is unique. And that only you can fulfill. And if you're not doing that, God has to use somebody else to bless that. Because I'm not bringing whatever I'm bringing to the church or whenever I search to bless myself and so that everybody can hear how beautiful I'm singing, you know. Maybe we sometimes have intentions like that, but we pray that God will clear us of that. But I'm coming here when I'm singing or whatever I'm doing to bless the others. And together we create that atmosphere, that spiritual haven for the Holy Spirit to work. So I'm just another piece of the puzzle. And that is our place where we serve. Where we have to move towards. He talks in Ephesians as well about being built together for God, Ephesians 2:22, for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What is he saying this morning to us? There's a certain amount, I remember the Lord shared this with me a few years ago, you know, when I read the scripture and I had this revelation where the Lord said to me, there's a certain amount of my presence that's just reserved for those corporate gatherings when my children come together. That means that you can have a meaningful time with God. You can have his presence back there in your house, you know, wherever you have time with God. But there's a certain amount of God's presence, a special amount of his presence that's reserved for gatherings like these this morning or any other gathering where we come together in unity and seeking Christ. And we will miss out on that unless we are slotted in, unless we are at that place where we've positioned ourselves under a covering, under a body where God wants us. That's why it's dangerous to be out there, you know, on your own. We cannot just go around there and call ourselves, you know, we've got this ministry. We never submit. We're never undercovering because God wants to keep us in check. You know, our human flesh, we want to go on our own mission, you know. But we all need authority and we all need those things. Not to check up on us and be policemen, but to protect us and to keep us in check. And they tell me the story, you know, that in America there's a tree, sequoia tree. Okay, this is one of those heavy names. Okay, apparently these trees, they grow. Come on, yeah, we've got an American here. Do you know these trees? Okay, I'll have to show you afterwards. But anyway, Kim doesn't know it. But I've been told that these trees grow just under the surface of the ground, and normally you would think that their root system will be very shallow, and when the wind comes, you'll think that they will just blow them over. But the great thing about this all is that these trees grow just in the groves, and then the roots will become intertwined, one with the other, all of the same trees. And when the wind comes, they hold each other up. And likewise, in the body of Christ, the same thing. When the wind comes, we need each other to hold each other up. You know, our root system need to be intertwined like that. I've been told the story of a man called James Calvert. He went to the islands of Fiji many years ago when they were still eating cannibals, and they had human T-bones and, you know, human rump, and you can have all those goulash. well done, medium to well done, you know. So anyway, he's on his way there, and he said to the captain as they were getting onto the ship to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, as he's getting on the ship, the captain said to him, "Do you realize that you're putting your life in danger, and as well as the life of all the others around you?" And he looked at the captain and said, "We already died before we came here." And that is what needs to happen in our lives. We need to die first. We need to come to that place and know when God, we're saying to the Lord, "Lord, I'm willingly putting myself into your hands." In other words, you're handing over to God, and he takes that brick and he wants to build it into their house. Sometimes God has to take that brick and just adjust it a little bit and put it in a place where he feels it is good. As he says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 18, God has set the members in the body as he pleased, as he thinks it is good. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, good works, that we should walk in them. God already saw, when he saw you, he knew. He prepared the good works, and then all he wants you is to walk in that, just to find that. What did God call me for? For those good works. Not good works to obtain salvation, but good works after salvation. After I've come to that place when I realize what God has done, what I've been saved of. When I come to that place when I realize how deep his love is for the world out there. It moves me. That's that activating love, I said, that moving love that caused me to move and to work, to walk in good works. And then Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says to them, listen, you need to walk in that good works. You have to realize what God has given you. Understand that you are not beggars, but that you are rich in Christ. And then eventually they start moving into that. And then the strange thing is, then in Revelation 2, you can go and read it. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, and he says to them, you know what? You're doing everything right. In other words, all the good works. They've got all the good works. On paper, you know, we would think that's a brilliant church. But then God says to John says to them, but you're missing this one thing. You're lacking love. And that can happen so easily when we move into that phase where we just do the works, but it's never been motivated by love. And it takes us back into that same circle again where Paul said, I have to pray for you that you understand the love of Christ. When we understand the love of Christ completely, when we have that revelation, then good works will follow. But it's not to obtain anything. It's not to get God's favor. God already loves you. God has already favored you. It's only because you understand that love and it moves you to a next level from being a child to become a mature Christian in the kingdom of God. And Paul said to them, you know, or John said to them, you know, if you do not repent of that lovelessness that you have, or not loving me, I will come and take away your lampstand. What is he saying, you know, to the church there? We as a church have to guard that will never happen with us, you know, because it's possible that we can lose our lampstand, and otherwise we are called to be a light unto the nations. We are called to be a light in this community. But the possibility is there when God comes and the Holy Spirit withdraws from this whole thing, that the light wouldn't be there anymore. And the funny thing is that the church might be able to continue to exist, but it will be a church without light. And there's many such movements out there. And we're not condemning anybody or thinking we're better this morning, but we guard against that and say, Lord, keep our lampstand in the midst. Help us to stay at that place where we understand your love. Let us be like when Paul prayed that we're making that prayer ours this morning to understand love. So that will motivate us for good works and to walk into them. What can we do this morning to build up the body of Christ? I'm closing. We can care for the body that are afflicted. The Bible talks about the visiting the sick, visiting the fatherless, the widows. We can care for the physical needs. When God bless you, we are able to do that as well, to look after them. And then also the spiritual needs of the body. We need to know the word. We need to be stable in such a way that we can give out bread to those that need bread, spiritual bread. My question this morning that I want to pose, are others stronger in Christ this morning because of you or your contribution? Is the body more unified this morning because of you? Mature believers see their role not as coming to church, but as coming to a place where I'm growing and I'm maturing others, I'm equipping others so that they can take over from me. You're working yourself out of this job, and then God gives you another person, and you take him through that phases of understanding what's it all about. Not the milk phase, okay? And then eventually we get to that place where we're enjoying the mystery, that mystery of Christ. In other words, when we come to that place, we are no more like children that are tossed to and fro or winds, you know. Whenever the wind does this, we are like that. We are rooted in the Word. We become solid in the Word. We understand it when we mature. We help each other. We are solid in doctrine. And we come, the Bible says we all come to the unity in faith. In other words, when I'm doing my part, you know, I'm contributing to that of my brother and my sister, till we all come to the unity and faith of the knowledge of God. And when we come to that place of maturity in our lives, or in the Word, or in the church, then that also spills over where we can become mature in our life out there. Because it helps us to make decisions wisely, because we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. We've gone through the tests, and God is enabling us. The kingdom of God is expanding because people understand their role in the body and team up with God. I close with this question this morning. I couldn't say it more directly, but you know, we need to ask ourselves at some given time in life this, and I need to ask myself the question, how involved are you in church this morning? Is your level of involvement sufficient for others to grow or to contribute for the body that others can grow? Or are you still at that baby phase where others are feeding you? Then my prayer is that we will grow into that place where we understand the love of Christ. And that's what we want to pray this week, that we understand the love of Christ. When you understand the love of Christ, how deep, how wide, how the height of that, then that will move us to the next phase. Our homework, okay? I'm done with the pastor, now I'm the teacher. I want you to read chapter or the whole book of Ephesians this week, just to study that and just spend time with God and say, Lord, just give me an understanding. I'm praying that if that is one of my prayers that I'm praying, Lord, just to understand your love again, just to understand how much you love my brother, my sister, why I'm here on a Sunday, why do I do what I do here on a Sunday, not for any other reason, because I love you, Lord, and I want to serve your people. I want to see that your kingdom advance. Can we sing that song one more time? Is that possible? How he loves us. We can just sing one verse of that. And let's just meditate upon that this morning. That God loves us just as much as he loves you. He loves the people out there. That will move us from being a child to become a mature believer as we engage in that. Amen. The Lord bless you. We sing the song and I'll see you next week. Please remember to bring a friend. Let that love move you in this week to make a lekker braai vleisie. And then we're going to have fellowship to share the love of Christ with us.